Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 92. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in order to clear up further misconceptions about the rasa dance and the affairs of Krishna and the gopis, Maharaj Parikit, the hero of Srimad Bhagavatam, told Sukadev Goswami, Krishna appeared on the earth to establish the regulative principles of religion and to curb the predominance of irreligion, but the behavior of Krishna and the gopis might encourage irreligious principles in the material world. I am simply surprised that he would act in such a way, enjoying the company of others' wives in the dead of night. The statement of Maharaj Parikit was very much appreciated by Sukadev Goswami. The answer anticipates the abominable acts of the Mayavadi impersonalists who place themselves in the position of Krishna and enjoy the company of young girls and women. The basic Vedic injunctions never allow a person to enjoy sex with any woman except his own wife. Krishna's appreciation of the gopis appeared to be distinctly in violation of these rules. Maharaj Parikit understood the total situation from Sukadev Goswami. Yet, to further clarify the transcendental nature of Krishna and the gopis in the rasa dance, he expressed his surprise. This is very important in order to check the unrestricted association with women by the Prakriti Sahajiyas. So this is like a, what do you call it? You know, what do you think of Ramakrishna? I don't think of him. What, you know, how about, you know, Vivekananda? He's another rascal, so. Yeah, so here's that. The abominable acts of the Mayavadi impersonalists, like this and that. And so this is to check the unrestricted association of women by the Prakriti Sahajiyas. Right, so in other words, because of their impersonal position, then that just one happens to be scholarly, one happens to not be. That's the difference. Yes, so Parikit Maharaj, we see from this, he fully understood what was going on, the transcendental position. But for the benefit of others, so that it wouldn't be misapplied, then that's nice. So you can see us here in Prabhupada's purports, you have the original verses, you have the commentaries of the acharyas that are there, but you also have putting that all together in what mood and what's the purpose of why the acharyas are even making their comments like that. So you have this very nicely blended, expression. In his statement, Maharaj Parikit has used several important words which require clarification. The first word, jukupsitam, means abominable. The first doubt of Maharaj Parikit was as follows. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had invented himself to establish religious principles. Why then did he mix with others' wives in the dead of night and enjoy dancing, embracing, and kissing? According to the Vedic injunctions, this is not allowed. Also, when the gopis first came to him, he gave instructions to them to return to their homes. To call the wives of other persons or young girls and enjoy dancing with them is certainly abominable according to the Vedas. Why should Krishna have done this? So, he called them, then he told them to go home. And then after that, he was dancing and interacting. So his idea is, why would he have done this? What's the basis? Another word used here is aptakama. Some may take it for granted that Krishna was very lusty among young girls. But Parikit Maharaj said this was not possible. He could not be lusty. First of all, from the material calculation, he was only 8 years old. Right? So that's the first thing, so that the materialist can't get distracted. Right? At that age, a boy cannot be lusty. Aptakama means that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-satisfied. Even if he were lusty, he doesn't need to take help from others to satisfy his lusty desires. Because he means energy is his. So if he has desire, that's coming from him. So that means he can also then take care of that by his own arrangement. Right? So it's not that he wants to enjoy the goat. He expands himself. He doesn't have to worry about these things. Does that make sense? The next point is that although not lusty himself, he might have been seduced by the lusty desires of the gopis. But Maharaj Pariksit then used another word, Yadupati, which indicates that Krishna is the most exalted personality in the dynasty of the Yadus. The kings in the dynasty of Yadu were considered to be the most pious, and the descendants were also like that. Having taken birth in that family, how could Krishna have been seduced even by the gopis? It is concluded, therefore, that it was not possible for Krishna to do anything abominable. But Maharaj Pariksit was in doubt as to why Krishna acted in that way. What was the real purpose? Right? So, in other words, he's asked this question, but by the words that he used, you can understand he had no doubt about Krishna's transcendental position and how he's unaffected and he's transcendental, the modes, and so there's nothing material. It's all transcendental. His doubt, he's just asking, why is he revealing such pastimes or enacting such pastimes that the materialist may misinterpret and misapply?
Prabhupada says in the beginning of Krishna Bhakti, by hearing Krishna's pastimes to the gopis, the heart is purified from the name of desire.
Yes.
And I'm always wondering, all of Krishna's pastimes are purifying, regardless of the content. So what is it specifically about these pastimes that they have the special potency to purify the heart of mundane sex desire versus silly?
As opposed to Brahma steals the cows and calves.
Yeah. Or the killing of Brahma Sura.
Okay, we're getting the killing of Palambasura. Okay, but how would we take that? What's the rasas that are going on there? Is it a conjugal rasa?
No.
Right? We're not talking about, you know, how you say guys in leather with whips, you know, right? Okay? So, it's not a conjugal rasa. It's just a point of just fighting and that. So there's a particular impurity in the heart that demon represents. Right? But when Krishna is dancing with the gopis, then he's dealing on a conjugal level. So when we hear about real conjugal life, which means trying to please Krishna's senses, so there's not a desire for sense gratification, then that purifies the heart. So it doesn't say about the Mahishis in Mathura. So the pastime in Kumbha doesn't say it will purify the heart of these desires. Means you'll get purified hearing the pastimes, like you're saying, but not specifically that. Or the queens in Dwarka won't either, because there's half-half. So there'll be some, like that. But here it's that they're only interacting with Krishna just to please him. So it's not based on sense gratification. Well, in the material world, then sex desire is on fulfilling one's own desire. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is if that desire is fulfilled, then you'll say, okay, this is a good relationship. And if that is not fulfilled, they'll say it's a bad relationship. Right? As it mentions in Kali Yuga, especially as it progresses, marriages will be held together simply by that point alone. I mean, you already see it now. But previously, I mean, you know, later in Kali, that's it. So the whole point is that by hearing about the gopis, because of their pure love for Krishna, it's just how they'll please Krishna, but they're using the medium of conjugal affection, just like Mother Yashoda wants to please Krishna but is using parental, or Sridham and Sudham and Subal, they're using the medium of friendship. Does that make sense? The cows are using the medium of neutrality. So it's a particular kind of rati that they have for Krishna, a particular attraction. Does that make sense? So they're expressing their service to Krishna through the conjugal. Right? Because love for him, that's the generic, and then there's the specific kind of love. Does that make sense? You have love for Krishna, and then it'll be specific. You know, like in a family, let's say everybody loves the grandfather, but the relationships will be different. Some are brothers and sisters, some as, you know, their uncles, some as grandfathers, some as great-grandfathers, some as a friend, some like this. Does that make sense? It's But so the generic is that love for Krishna. So that's the point that you can always take from any of the residents of the spiritual world. You don't have to be in that rasa to appreciate or to take the example. Right. Does that make sense? And so the specific rasa, that is a specific detail. Does that make sense? So this idea that no, unless we do what the gopis do and this and that, and so then we can't appreciate. No, you can appreciate anyway. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a man, and you can appreciate that, yes, he's a good father, he's a good husband, you know, or he's a good friend, or like that, even though you may not be in that position. Again, does that make sense? So that's the thing, there's the generic. So that love for Krishna, that surrender to Krishna, so that's the point, is the surrender of the gopis to Krishna is the most exalted of all the devotees. It means the Brajbasis in general, they're the most exalted of all the other realms, but within Braj, then the gopis. Does that make sense? So that surrender, anybody can be inspired by. So that's why we don't have a problem in talking about that aspect, because we see Bhishma Dev is inspired by the gopis' surrender. You know what I'm saying? I mean, on his deathbed, he's talking about their surrender. That's, you know, like, that's devotional service. Uddhava appreciates. Right? And these are all Dwarka Wallas. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that So therefore then, because now we're hearing about the love for Krishna, so hearing about anybody's pure love for Krishna, we will advance in that development of love for Krishna. But the hearing about the gopis, because of the medium they're using, that's purifying that aspect. So that's why you can say that will happen. Right? So you could hear these, be purified of this and not become a gopi. Right? So it's not that all these things have to be connected. They can be, but it's not that they have to be. Does that make sense? Because if one's in the material world, there's generally the tendency towards sex desire, seeing that the shackles that keep you here are, what is it? Maitunya Agara means it's the place. The shackles are sex life. Like that. So therefore, for the karmis, it's direct. And for the jnanis, the impersonalists, it's indirect. Like that. So it's distinction, adoration, and profit is their connection with sex life. Right? And so after sitting in the Brahman for a while, coming down as a blade of grass, then they get back into the regular, you know, get with the program. Right? You know. So,
yeah. Okay. Good. Yes. About this, that the marriages will only last because of the conjugal aspect. Many years ago, an astrologer said that if you want to match two charts, just match that part. Yes, everything else will be figured out. But when I heard from Prabhupada that it is actually from the Puranas, from the Bhagavatam, the Dampatya Rati, maybe I can make sense of it.
Because that's just a Kali Yuga thing. Otherwise, the whole point is. In the marriage ceremony itself, then one of the things that is stated is, what is it? The groom, no, actually, at that point they're actually husband and wife. May I obtain companionship with you? And another point, the companionship aspect is brought out many times. So that's actually, in the Vedic concept, the most important element of the relationship. Like that. That's why, otherwise, in the numberings for the eight different things, the eight or ten, then the one that has the most points, or has 8 points, because there's eight things. The first one has 8 points, the second seven, the third six, five, four, three, two, and one. Right? So that would mean that weight by that. So the first one is that companionship. Otherwise, if sex was actually important, that would be number one. Now, they just look at the charts. If that doesn't match, they wouldn't even bother. But the sexual thing is actually quite a ways down. I'm not sure exactly which position it is.
Fourth point.
So it's the fourth. So you have 3 points that are more important than that. Does that make sense? So the point is that why you have it there, why it would even be in that position, is because the idea of grihastha life is to have children, right? That's a general concept. So how are they going to have children if there is no compatibility in their sexual nature? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that's the only reason that it then has position four. But as far as importance in maintaining the relationship, then it would be farther down than that. But since children are an important thing, and somehow or another, mysteriously, even though the modern context doesn't necessarily appreciate this, sex does produce children. That's actually its function. You know, just, you know what I'm saying? You know, like eating is eating nourishes the body. So therefore, someone eats a nice meal and all that, and, you know, they've been maybe a bit of a sense gratifier, but they ate and they're comfortable in that. Well, okay, that's okay. Like that. But if they eat all nice things and all that, and it's all about that, then they go in the next room and vomit and then come back and eat more, we would say that this is crazy.
This is Roman.
Huh? Yes, but we would say that that's crazy. Even in the modern context, they would say that that's a bit weird. But at the same time, as they look at sex from the same principle. Right? So who's worse? Right? So the Romans, yeah, they had sex and all that, but they had sex, they had kids, and that, you know, went like that. And then they put, you know, a lot of focus into eating. Right? You know, and the modern is they don't know how to eat, so, you know, like that, you know. Means, yeah, it's already much of the time starting off as vomit in the first place, so, you know, they don't want to deal with it again. So therefore, then, you know, then they do the same with the sex. The only difference is that the maxim ends up as, you know, how you say, your vegetables get wasted and stuff like this. But in the, in the sexual thing, then people end up dead. You know. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just a... So therefore you see the position is not... It's important, but not the most important. Actually, the natures being similar, their ability to interact and things like that, that companionship, that's much more important. Because if that's there, because that lasts through a lifetime. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So other things get old.
Right. And there are this very weird thing that somebody said that because, like, gopis engaged all the conjugal action to Krishna. So it's the adira, like the pure adirasa, the pure rasa. So some say that because devotee couples engaged their conjugal relationship in Krishna service, there was also something to do with adirasa. Is it like impersonal?
It means it's where it's coming from, but they can't say that that has anything to do with serving. Because there, they're directly serving Krishna. Mm-hmm. Here, it's the sexual activities of a couple will be connected if they connect it. And if they don't connect it, it's not connected. So they can't say that this is... It's coming from there, and the activities of that will be from this. But the point is there's no sense gratification in Krishna's. That's the difference. So they have to be very, very careful there. It's an area where we don't play around. You know, it's just like you give a box of... those strike-anywhere matches to a three-year-old. No, you know, sit them down in the living room and give them one of those, no, not the small boxes, you know, those big, nice, big boxes like that. You know, you just don't do that. So they shouldn't get into these things. They're attached to their sex life. They think their sex life is fabulous. That's okay. That's between them and their friend, you know, and there's a good chance that thinking that they're doing fabulous is one-sided, you know. Like that, you know, you don't want to necessarily bring it up with a partner like that, you know. So that's why the advantage of, you know, the other areas being more important, therefore that's why the marriage is going on. Because if sex was the main thing, how many marriages would even be there? How many people would even be together? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that they have to be very careful there. Yes, you engage, but then how do you engage that? Are you engaging your children in Krishna consciousness? Are you seeing that they're Krishna conscious? If you're not, then the result of your sex is not connected to Krishna. Right? And what's the purpose? You're having sex. For what reason? You know? How is it being looked at? Is it being looked at in connection to the potencies and all that, and the taste that's there, that's actually the Lord and all that? Or is it just that, hey, I like this? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, why would they even try to make that comparison? Unless it's just they're really attached to sex and they think they're really good at it. Otherwise, why would they bring it up? Guys that don't think they're very good at sex probably wouldn't want to bring that up as a topic that, yeah, this is Adi Ras, and, you know, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to be really, really careful. It comes from there, but also the parental comes from Mother Yashoda and that. The friends comes from there. Everything comes from Krishna's pastimes, and then that's given to us in the form of rules and regulations. And then we, not knowing what rasa is, therefore we follow the rules and regulations, and in that our material desires are taken care of. At the same time, we purify because we're regulating according to Scripture, and we develop devotionally because we're trying to regulate according to Scripture to please Krishna. And the results of our actions are to please Krishna. Then we can actually say, yes, then there's a connection. Then it becomes engaged in service to Krishna. It's purifying. Did they do Garbhadan? Did they chant the mantras? You know, like that. Did they, you know, bother taking a bath? Or it was just halfway through the movie, things got a little steamy, and then next thing you know is that, you know, 2 weeks later, then she's pregnant. So, you know, like that. You know, so how are we, you know, at what point are we connecting it to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? So we're good. It's always funny, these things. These things come up, everyone's subtle body just goes, kind of pulls back. You know, so when you look around, you know, normally you say, is that cut? Yeah, they're all, yeah, like this. This is what I'm, are we done? Okay. Yes. So that's why not so much is explained about the Rasa Leela. Because people actually can't deal with it.
But is this the modern thing? That people cannot deal with that topic?
Maybe. You could say it's more of a modern thing. Because, like in Indian circles, you can discuss about sex and things like that. Because they understand it in its position, its religious thing. What is to be done in this and that? You know, what is, like this conversation like this amongst just straight cultured Indians wouldn't be as much of a difficulty. They would see it, yeah, right, and things like that. But amongst, yeah, and they're not committed to sex, but you can discuss about sex. And as we see, is what is it? We're at 1.2 or 1.4 billion in India?
1.4.
Yeah, so they do okay with it. You know, it's not that they shy away, right? While in the West, especially the more first world you get, even though they're totally dedicated to this, then at the same time, it's not a topic you can discuss. No one's comfortable with that. You know, you can't discuss it philosophically. You can discuss it, yeah, hey, check that. You know, you can do that kind of discussion, but you can't have an actual philosophical or cultural discussion.
Why is that?
It's just, I don't know. They're just so freaky about it. It's just, it's weird. Like death, you know, death and sex you can't discuss. Taxes, yes, but not death and sex.
Taxes also you should be careful.
Yeah, you should be careful, especially if they might think that you're undercover IRA. So, did you do your tax returns last year? Yeah. So it's a funny thing. So in the Shastras, they can deal with it very straightforward. But the point is that unless there's some detachment or a principle purity or upliftment, then one can't actually understand what the Shastras are recommending. You know, it's just like we hear about, okay, you want to eat meat, then on a dark moon night with a black goat, you know, at midnight and after chanting the mantra, I'm killing you this life and next life you can kill me. Then you kill the goat and make the offering and this and that and do all the stuff like that. We'll look at that and go, that's stupid. You know? So, but for someone who has that attachment and all that, then they'll go, see, Krishna Shastra says it's okay. So you can't really discuss it with them because the attachment's too much. So you could say is that the attachment to sense gratification is so strong. You know what I'm saying? Because when it gets down to sense gratification, then, okay, in the West, you have how much volume of classical art that is people not very well dressed. How much volume is there, right? A little bit, a statue here, a painting there. In India, they have temples that the whole outside of the temple is just that kind of stuff. Right? And people go and look and yeah, this and that. And the tour guide's saying, yeah, and this is this and that's that. And they're all, oh, okay, nice. And, you know, just walking around and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing is that because there's attachment is less, it's seen in its general category and where it fits in, then it's not, it can be, it's more prominent. At the same time is because it has its place. Therefore, all the people that are looking at that are nicely dressed. You know what I'm saying? On the West, you can't talk about these things, but everybody's half-dressed. It's kind of like, what's going on here? So that's the thing, is that Indians don't have problem with this. But at the same time, because we have to remember, is when it comes to all these kinds of things in Shastra, it comes from here. Is there a Western Shastra on this? No, it all comes from India. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is all these kind of arts and sciences all come from India. And then having come from there, then it percolates down in whatever way. It's even more connected, you know, like the Greeks picked up something when they were here or something, or percolates down just in their practices for millions of years as they traverse through Central Asia before they finally, you know, hit Europe somewhere and, you know, like that. So it's a very strange thing. So that's the whole idea, is that by hearing these pastimes of the gopis, then we start to see is that actually it's not an ultimate goal. It's not actually the position of enjoyment or happiness for the living entity. Right? So it's about doing something for Krishna. Does that make sense? And so then within that context, then it can be seen, you know, how much detail or non-detail you require. Because the general thing, general aspect of sense gratification, then that's a generic thing, you know. And so then, but then more detail than this is, unless you can see the proper connection to Krishna, then one actually can't deal with it properly, you know, like that. Because it's just practical. They don't see how these finer points, because what is the emphasis that's made here is that Krishna's talking and laughing and joking and singing and like this kind of thing, you know, like that, kissing, embracing. So that's the main thing that's brought out. And so that aspect is where the predominance of the conjugal affection is. That's the conjugal rasa. Then sexual relationships then are a part of that. But in the modern, sexual relationships are the conjugal rasa. So, actually, these other things, the talking, the laughing, the joking, all these things aren't a major part. So that's the difficulty. So we get purified because, one, we see what's the actual position, and two, we see is that this position can be done purely to please Krishna, not about ourselves. You're good? Yes? Okay. Okay. Another word Myers Prickett used when he addressed Sukadeva Goswami is Suvrata, which means to take a vow to enact pious activities. Sukadeva Goswami was an educated brahmachari, and under the circumstances, it was not possible for him to indulge in sex. This is restricted, strictly prohibited from brahmacharis. What to speak of a brahmachari like Sukadeva Goswami? But because the circumstances of the rasa dance were very suspect, Maharaj Pariket inquired for clarification from Sukadeva Goswami. Right, so he's on that transcendental platform, and so then he's not going to be affected by these things. That's why you see he can explain it nicely. It's that we're the ones that have the difficulty with it. Like that. Because there's nothing for the brahmachari to gain there. So what's the problem? Like that.
That's a nice example of, as many times devotees there will say that unless you experience something or unless you know something, then you can't discuss it. But here we have the example.
No, but actually on this point on sex, the only ones that can actually discuss it actually openly are those that don't have attachment for it. And so those who will say, unless you've experienced it, you can't do it, are the ones that are attached to it. So actually they can't. So that's the whole the interesting part, is that the modern thing is, because I'm attached to it, that's why I am, you know, I put in my effort, that's why I learn the knowledge, that's why I practice the skills, and so therefore, because I'm the most attached, that makes me the most expert in the field. So I'm the world authority because I'm the most attached. But in the Vedic concept is, no, those who are not attached to the subject, they're the ones that can explain it. Right? Bhishma Dev. Now he can explain administration and all that, because he's not the king. Would Duryodhana be able to explain it? No, he can only talk about Niti. But the Dharma of a Kshatriya, that Bhishma Dev can explain. Yudhishthira can explain. Right? Because it's like in the assembly, if they came and then they saw the gambling match, and they saw that Duryodhana was going to use a professional gambler, which is illegal, means if he is, then Yudhishthira should have a professional gambler. But they expect Yudhishthira to gamble himself, but Duryodhana won't gamble himself. He'll have a professional. At that point, if Yudhishthira said, this is not legal, I'm not taking part in this, nobody would have complained. Or having done all the things that they did, even he did go along, and then they bring out their wife to insult her. If at that time, Bhima had picked up a club, walked over, and completely smashed in, not even just, you know, gave him a bump on the head, but completely destroyed Duryodhana, that you couldn't even recognize the pulpy mass of flesh that's left there. No king would have complained and said that this is wrong. But because they're following Dharma, then they go through it. And so it took 14 years to work that one out. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that Shastra is written and discussed, and the commentaries are given by those who, it's not their area. Just like once a devotee went through all of Prabhupada's books, you know, at the time, compiled everything on Grihastha life, put it together, brought it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked through it and said, absolutely useless. And they're thinking, no, but it's your purports, because it only showed technique. It didn't show what's the purpose of the technique, what's the attitude, how one sees it connected to Krishna and all that. Because if you do that, that part's dropped off. Prabhupada has a purport, there's a point he's being made, and then in the example, then he may use, let's say, Grihastha Ashram as an example. And so we'll pull that, but what the point being made in that purport is completely lost, because they lift that point and then don't see the rest of it. You know? Does that make sense? Just like if I have a piece of, you know, sliced, boiled, and pickled beetroot, and I'm holding it in my hand, how do I know that's a sandwich? Because I've separated it from the whole thing. So I can't tell it's a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? So that's what happens. So people, they don't see like that. Well, so like Sukadeva Goswami, he'll point out the connections, the Krishna and everything, very, very nicely. And you see the gopis. Now here are the ones that are most absorbed in the conjugal rasa. And they are fully always seeing everything connected back to Krishna at every point in the philosophy. So that means what? There is no material sexual need, no material sexual desire. That's why they're such authorities. because the points they make in philosophy are more subtle than anything that's been made previously in the Bhagavatam. The connections, how he is a person, how everything in the creation is based on that, him as a person. You know, in him as a universal form, or him as Vishnu, like this, that much will be good. But him as a person, that is then brought out by the gopis. So that means there is no sex desire. So, yes, people who are attached to and proud of their sex life will say, unless you've gone through it, you can't say it. That's a standard statement of the Sahajiyas. Standard. And as we see before, is to avoid the scourge of the Sahajiyas. That's why then this question has been brought up. But it's been brought up in a way to show that Krishna's not at fault, the gopis are not at fault, Sukadev Goswami is perfect, so he won't have any difficulty, and that such a perfect person can then give an answer on these other perfect persons. So that's how he asked the question. He's already asked it to make sure that none of these other doubts are coming up. So that means unqualified people, because here the speaker is qualified, right? The listener is qualified that he understood, and that the gopis and Krishna are qualified. So that's already been established. Does that make sense? So this idea is, unless you had and this and that, and it's kind of like, give us a break. You know, it's like they're the last persons who could explain it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. The Vedic procedure doesn't buy that. It's who doesn't have attachment and has knowledge of the field, they're the authorities, not those who have had the quote-unquote experience. You know what I'm saying? Because that has nothing to do with it. That's transcendental, and this is this. So there's no connection. Because the people who say that can't make the connection anyway. Right? Because for them, it's about what they are into, not about what the other person's into. Or if it's, okay, they're into this or into that, because then it'll work out for what I want. But here, so it's just about Krishna. Does that make sense? So that principle we've always talked about, the masculine and feminine principle, they know that perfectly, so they can function in that. But here it's about, I'm the center of attention, it's about my senses, so that's why they can't deal in this subject matter. That's why their vision is clouded by this. You know? Just using an opposing example like that. The best brahmachari, there's a few cases where there's other, but in the category of the best brahmachari instructions that I've ever seen given, were given by married women. And they'll have zero concept of what brahmacharya means. Right? Because there's no such concept of atmarama in the feminine mentality. But the best instructions I've heard have come from women, married women. Like that. I've seen it quite a few times. Back in the 70s I saw it, 80s, 90s. Yeah, I mean, I've just seen it all the way through. It's very rare you see it, but it's good. So somebody who's a good brahmachari but gets distracted a bit, and that, you know, the men come in and this, that, and it's not working, so then the married lady has some concern, she steps in and she says, and that's it. You know, it's clear. They understand things as they are. Like that. So that's the whole point. That's the same principle in reverse. So it works, yes.
Are you saying that the person giving the instruction has to know the field and be detached from it?
Yes, but know the field means they know the knowledge of the field. They don't have to, this life, have be experienced in the field. She knows women. And the brahmachari is having a problem with women, so you let them know what actually women are, and then they go, oh, okay. I always thought women were, nope, sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the thing is I've only heard Brahmin women say this like that. Other women aren't going to expose like that because they're worried others will take advantage of the knowledge. But I've seen Brahmin women just come out very straight. Pleasantly, but really straight. You know, like Urvasi in the ninth canto. Just a few more verses, that's all. So yeah. That's the whole thing. Now, if you want detail of the practical application, the art of it, that you ask people who are involved in it. Does that make sense? But when it comes to the concept of the philosophy, how it connects to Krishna, the actual more important aspect of it, like that you can get, that those who don't have attachment in the field can tell you. Because otherwise, the other, you have to find people that have a similar attachment as you. Otherwise, you're not gonna appreciate what they're talking about. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like in Bhishma Parva, we find that Bhishma Dev has two chapters, just on the nature of women, and his brahmachari is speaking of.
Yeah, because that's the point, they can see. It's just like, can the smoker actually see the real problem with smoking? No, but the person who's not a smoker, they can see it. Right? Now, if someone's been a smoker and then understands that and gives it up, now they'll be very strong in preaching and stuff like that. But where did they get that from? They got it from someone who was not attached to smoking. Right? Otherwise, two smokers, wow, you're still smoking. Yeah, I can't give it up. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, I'd love to. You know, it's really, the cough's just getting too much. Yeah, what can you do? You know, that's as good as it's going to get. You know, it's like come to a very serious, I'm really going to try to move this forward, you know. Yeah, wow, that's a really, what do you say? You know, yeah, that's pretty, you know, glorious there that, you know, you're making an attempt. Yeah, I'm doing a, you know, no smoking Monday morning before breakfast, you know, day. You know, just, wow, that's impressive.
Many years ago, a similar question was asked when a mischievous comment was made, and your answer to it was very transformative. The comment was that you don't have wife and children. You have not raised wife and children, and how do you run Gurukul? So your answer was that just because the standard of your society is third class intelligence, don't try to make it my standard.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, because you learn by hearing. That's the best, because that's the thing. But the moderns, unless you've experienced it, then they'll say that it can't be real, because it's third class intelligence. But most of the time, it's fourth class. The best ones are third class. They're the ones that write the books. Right, and the guys buying the books and reading them are the fourth class, that they don't even learn reading the book. Right? Yeah, so that's that.
Maharaj, We also have the aspects that the ones who are detached in this lifetime is because they've been attached in previous lifetimes.
Yeah, and gotten
so
over
have
it.
The knowledge anyway.
Yeah. Means that someone who just naturally is the brahmachari in this life means he's been through the whole grihastha thing, but it's come from the grihastha to the vanaprastha to the sannyasa thing. So therefore then in this life, it's not even something that they think about or worry about. You know, and the ones that have more problem means that wasn't that developed. You know? So yes, that's there. But the point is that's why if you take the bigger picture, you take the knowledge from where it comes. Because we expect it's in this life and the old person's telling you and that, and you'll get good advice there. But then sometimes these areas then can be go over many lifetimes. So it's not a problem. Good? Yeah? Okay. Sukadeva Goswami said, the status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality we may see in them, for they are just like fire, which devours everything fed into it and remains unpolluted. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, in seven verses, out of affection for his disciple, Sukadeva rejects conclusions other than those presented by Parikkhita through hidden meaning, while rejecting Parikkhita's apparent words of criticism. One sees acts of adharma in persons who are not dependent on dharma, Ishvara Anam, such as Brahma being attracted to his daughter, done without fear, sahasam, such as Brihaspati approaching the wife of Uttaya, his elder brother. There is no fault in these powerful beings. An example is given. The fire burns everything but does not become impure. Right? So that also has to be seen as the position of the person, because that's also in Manu and the punishments. Then you also have to see the nature of the person that you're dealing with. Right? And so that's why an approach may be very different than what we're used to, because we just deal with everybody the same. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, in the square, the local guy that you didn't like, that you pointed out to Robespierre, you know, is bad, even though he's not, you just don't like the guy, and that, you know, because of his annoying chickens and all that, then he's getting his head cut off, and after that, then, you know, Louis is getting his head cut off. So it's all the same. They don't make no distinction. That's the thing. For all the brains in the West, there's actually no ability to discriminate. Yes?
They say the goddess of justice is blind.
Oh. In their justice is blind. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Justice is blind. Either that, or she puts on a blindfold because you say, "You call this justice?" Because in it, when she's holding the things, are they equal?
Yes.
They are exactly equal.
Yes.
Okay, because I kind of thought one's higher and one's lower.
Depends on the picture.
Depends on the picture, okay. Depends on the picture. Yeah. So this aspect of these great Ishwaras, that something goes wrong, like Indra, but then he stays in his position because of that activities he'll do will purify his position. Right, so if somebody's nicely engaged in devotional service, something goes wrong, that nicely engaged in devotional service, that will correct anything that's wrong. So the holy name is the actual holy thing that will correct everything. Nothing else will correct. Right? The other is that, okay, discretion in their particular material duty, and so then the performance of the pious aspects of those duties, the continuance, then it will bring about a purification from that, the reaction there. But it won't bring about the change in the mentality. That will only come by devotional service. So therefore, the devotees then have being engaged in devotional service and the performance of their particular duties according to their conditioning. And so that combination then makes it work very well. That's why for Vaishnavas, Prayaschitta is not even on the list of important things. Right? It's just not there. Being engaged in Krishna, they'll always remember, never forget, and the situations that will cause that's then what's important.
Yeah. So Maharaj, we see here, like, from the statement that nowadays it's so common that anybody can speak on any aspect of, like, you know, they can comment, or, like, you know, you can see the...
Yes, but that point was made by the... I'm not sure, I think it was the... What was it? I don't remember, but some Greek gentleman, and he was working in one area. I think he was he may have been a tailor, and or knew about that. Whether it was his occupation or whether it was just an area of his, you know, being a gentleman, that he knew some finer aspects. And so he had done something, and the cobbler, you know, the guy that repairs the shoes, then he made a comment about what he thought was wrong with it. And it's not, and the comments weren't actually, you know, valid, because he doesn't know the subject. It's just, he has his own taste. So then the comment was made, the cobbler shouldn't make comments above the sole of the shoe. Because that's his experience. Now, if there's something wrong with your shoe and he makes a comment, now he's the authority. But above the shoes, he shouldn't be commenting. Okay. Yeah, so he's gotten pretty. He's pretty good. You know, when dogs bark for a long time, they start to sound like that. Especially the little ones. You know. And so then, and so that so the term, you know, what's ultra crepidarian comes from that, from the Greek of that you shouldn't comment above, you know, your area of there. Does that make sense? So that's why then we will start from the philosophical aspect, how that's applied. So that's somewhere where we can comment. The detail of it, then that's another thing. So unless the acharyas have given detail and we're quoting them, then we have to be careful. But the principle of how it's engaged in Krishna service, is it Krishna conscious or not, and that according to the acharyas, then that's our field. You know, how a guy's running his business or not, that's not, we don't know how to do that. So we have to be careful. Otherwise, we think it's so special, but as we mentioned, every pub of the world, you have like universal experts on everything, you know, politics, sports, economics, you know, family affairs, you know, like that, you know, what the police should have done, you know, what the, you know, what this one should have done, you know, that they got, you know, they've solved all the problems of the world. But does anything change? No, because they don't know what they're talking about. So that's all. You have something? No. Okay. So. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. Well, not quite. We'll discuss what Prabhupada writes in Krishna book this evening.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.